As we turn our hearts and minds to the Word of God, please join me in our prayer for illumination. Spirit of the living God, open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to understand your word for us today. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Hear now the word of God. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
Hi guys, how are you? That was very fast. Oh, too much information, Henry. So when I prepare for the children's sermon, I go and I use this thing called Google. Anybody know what Google is? Yeah, it's from the computer, right? So I Google in children's sermon, and every time that I give the sermon, I have this wonderful pastor who lives in a different state, and he gives me like little hints as to what to say to you guys and how I can best teach you the lesson. Well, this time I Googled it, and this minister, who I always get lots of help from, he says, "Oh, this passage, Paul's got so much going on in the Roman passage that, you know, it goes over most people's head." So thanks, Pastor Chris. You're gonna have to dumb it down for the rest of us, because even my pastor. So you know what he told me to say to you today? He said to start out by asking you, how do you greet one another? If somebody comes into the room, what do you say?
Good morning.
Good morning. And what are some of the things that we do? Do you have any idea? Like when your grandma comes to visit, what do you do? What do you give her? A big
hug.
A big hug and a big
kiss, maybe? Do you give her a kiss?
Does your grandma, a big kiss? Does your grandma give you a big hug all the time?
Yeah.
Grandmas love hugging, right? And so do moms and dads. What are some of the other ways you greet your friends, maybe? What do you do? How about this? High five? Okay, when grown-ups come into the room and they're in a business meeting and they're in their suits, what do? Shake hands, right? Shake hands. So as Christians, when we pass the peace of Christ every Sunday to each other, we are giving each other the blessings to each other that Christ has given to us, and it's a reminder. So when you're in the Catholic Church, which Emily goes to once a week in Mass, they say, "Peace be with you," and you're to respond, "And also with your spirit." And with your spirit, right? And when we do it, we say, "And also with you," just a little bit different. So when I was worried about this message about peace, all of a sudden yesterday when we were cleaning out this project, the Kaisers always have these dirty projects where you have to clean boxes and you have to rake leaves and do all kinds of things. But I found this. And do you know what that says? So in this midst of garbage, I found this beautiful box that says peace. And it just gave me such confidence that what I was going to tell you about being passing the peace of Christ to fellow Christians and to everyone that you come in contact with, instead of high five and say, peace be with you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these children and especially for the peace that you give us as Christians. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Tomorrow's Memorial Day, and the person who always comes to mind for me when we're celebrating Memorial Day is my grandfather, who served in World War II, a waist gunner in one of these, you know, like held together by hopes and prayers bombers in World War II in the Pacific Theater, stationed in Guadalcanal. I remember the stories that he would tell about snipers up in trees that were owned by the Palmolive Corporation. And you couldn't cut down the tree because of corporate interests. And so the only way for you to get the snipers out of the trees was to either shake them without actually disrupting anything or just wait them out until they got hungry and they decided to come down. Can you imagine? Those are hard things. My grandfather's generation, often known as the greatest generation, was used to doing hard things. Those who serve in our military do hard things all the time. They leave behind their families. They leave behind their friends to go to strange places, into sometimes dangerous territory, to do hard things. And sometimes those hard things include sacrifice. And so Memorial Day is a day for us to remember those who have given their lives in service for our country. It's interesting to me that for our men and women who serve, they protect lives and freedom for every person, whether those people support what they're doing or not, whether they are respectful or not. For those of you who served in the Vietnam War or know people who served in Vietnam, our soldiers, when they came back, were often not met with the same parades and hearty handshakes as those returning now or those who were returning from World War II, but they were often derided, spat at, and yet they still served, protecting even those who didn't support them. So on Memorial Day, we remember their sacrifice as well. Today's passage from Paul's letter to the Romans is a fitting one for thinking about Memorial Day. Paul writes about Christ's sacrifice. Sermon title is "The Most Important Words You'll Ever Hear." I'm not going to make you wait for what those words are. I'm going to say them to you right up front, and we're going to say them a few times because they form the core of our faith. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul says that for a good person, someone might dare to die. But that's not true of us. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Why are those words so important? Well, here in the land of the free and the home of the brave, we tend to put an awful lot of stock in our own goodness, our own righteousness, our own ability to know the right thing and then to do the right thing. But Paul, writing in the Spirit, knows better than that. He knows better than that for the Romans, and he knows better than that for us living today. He knows what's really inside of our hearts. That as much as we might say that we are good people, as much as we might say that we follow God's law, as much as we might say, well, if we were to take our entire lives, the good might outweigh the bad. Paul earlier in Romans writes these words that should stick with us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jews, Gentiles, men, women, rich, poor, regardless of gender identity, sexuality, social status, whatever the case might be, across the board, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if we think that we are the good people that Christ died for, Paul is quick to remind us, no, you're not. And that's the core of the gospel, my friends. Because it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. What you did yesterday, what you do today, what you're going to do tomorrow, none of that matters in terms of this. Because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. At just the right time, Paul says, Christ died for the ungodly. I want that to sink in for us today. Because it has everything to do then with how we live our lives outside of these walls. Because it means that every person that we come into contact with is someone for whom Christ died. Paul also writes in this passage, boy, there's so much to unpack here. Wendy, you were right. Paul crams so much into such a few words. Paper must have been precious. Ink must have been expensive because he packs so much into this that it's impossible for us to mine everything that there is. But Paul also writes that we're reconciled to God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That we are at peace with God, that we're no longer God's enemies because of this sacrifice. Our sin puts us at odds with God. Our sin causes us to want to go our own way. Because following God, really following God, is sometimes not a very pleasant experience. Especially in Paul's day. Paul is writing, give or take, the year 57 AD. So about 25 years or so after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, before the Gospels are written down and widely available throughout the Roman Empire, before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, the Christian movement is still a fledgling kind of thing. They're still meeting in secret behind locked doors. It's still an underground kind of a thing. By no means is this a widespread movement at this point. And being a follower of Jesus Christ put you at odds with the emperor. To claim that Jesus is Lord means that Caesar is not. And you know who doesn't take too kindly to that? Caesar and all of his many armies, his centurions, his chariots, his horses. You want to say that Caesar isn't king? You do so at the peril of being at the end of sword or spear. And so Paul says, we rejoice in our sufferings. Not because we are suffering, but we rejoice even in the midst of suffering. And why? Because suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Well, we live in a time still riding on the coattails of a, 1,600-year legacy of Christendom, where being a Christian doesn't mean you're going to suffer. In fact, most times it means that you're going to be propped up on a higher pedestal in society. Faith in God isn't all that risky in a situation like that. Just think about town meetings stretching throughout the years with prayer in Jesus' name beginning and ending as bookends, where the President of the United States, the most powerful person in all of the world, can claim that Jesus is Lord and no one really bats an eye. Whether or not we believe that the president believes that or not is up to us to decide. But the fact that he says it is not controversial. And so what does it mean for us then as Christians to make sacrifices, to do hard things? I think about that greatest generation, and they did hard things. They not only did hard things in military service, but then throughout the rest of their lives, they did hard things. When my grandpa's plumbing broke, he didn't call the plumber, at least not right away. He messed it up a little bit farther himself first in trying to fix it. When the lawnmower doesn't work, you don't throw it in the back of the truck and take it to the small engine guy right away. First, you tinker with it. You make it worse. But today, we avoid suffering. Today, we try our best to make our lives comfortable. We work all of our lives so that we can either have the best things or that our children can have the best things or we can give them a better life than we had. I can't tell you when the last time was that I saw someone in the neighborhood push their own lawnmower around. Right. Even I'm guilty of this because when they do the church lot, they do mine too. And I sit back, you know, with a martini, and I'm like, boy, that's hard work. So what would it mean for us as Christians to do the hard things, not seeking suffering, but at least giving ourselves a chance for suffering to produce perseverance and perseverance to produce hope, hope that does not disappoint? Well, it might mean that we say and do things that Christ would compel us to say and do, even if they go against what is popular. I was at the Festival of Homiletics last week, 2 weeks ago, which most of you don't know what that is, and that's okay. It's just a preaching festival. And one of the presenters, William Willimon, who was the dean of the chapel at Duke University for years and years, United Methodist, bishop, and different things. And he was telling stories about his time in ministry. And one of the stories he told was about preaching a sermon on forgiveness. And you know the part of the Gospels where Peter comes to Jesus and says, how many times should I forgive my brother? You know, up to seven times. And Jesus says, 70 times seven, 490 times, or it's exponential, or you have to do some math or something like that. And it was all about the importance of forgiveness and how basically if you're not willing to forgive your worst enemy, then you have no place in the presence of Jesus Christ. And a woman came up to him after the service and said to him, are you meaning to tell me that I'm supposed to forgive my husband that I left who abused me for 25 years? And Willimon says he kind of stumbled on this. That's a hard situation. Jesus said, forgive and forgive over and over again, and I guess so, which is an incredibly controversial thing to say. And the woman said to him, looked right at him and said, good, just checking. Sometimes speaking the truth of the gospel does produce suffering for us. Sometimes it requires us to do hard things. Sometimes it means that we have to do things that might seem impossible to us and might cause suffering within ourselves. But Paul writes, suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. So what kind of hard things has God placed on your heart today? What kinds of things in our society, in our world, in your friendships, in your family relationships, have you been holding your tongue on because you don't want to stir anything up? You don't want to raise a fuss. Can't we all just get along? Rodney King said. Well, the answer is no. We can't all just get along. As long as there's injustice in the world, as long as there is racism in the world, as long as women are earning less than men in the workplace, as long as people are being killed for their faith, as long as people are being kept in their poverty, as long as children are being abused, then no, we can't just get along, even when it's hard. The good news is that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so we take this message to heart, even as we feel the burden of being bearers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, even as we feel the burden of what it is to be disciples of Jesus Christ. we go out into the world as a people reconciled with God, with the promise of reconciliation with one another. So my friends, are we ready on this Memorial Day weekend to pick up the banner of those who have done hard things before us and go into the future ready to do difficult things for the gospel of Jesus Christ? My prayer is that we will. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for the gospel, for the good news of our salvation through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that we don't need to do anything to earn this gift because there's no way we could. We thank you for the reality that is true for us today, that we are reconciled with you, and the hope for the future, that your Spirit working in us and through us might bring our world fully into peace and reconciliation. But until that day, Lord, challenge us to do the difficult things, to say the difficult words, to be in the difficult places. That'll cause our faith to grow and blossom. It'll cause our hope to flourish. A hope for the world that you are creating through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith? Words of the Apostles' Creed. People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.